transcribers for doing what you do. And maybe you're here today. Obviously, one of the reasons that we highlight this ministry is we want to give you an opportunity. Number one, make you aware of it. Thank you for those who are doing it. But maybe you're here and you would like to get involved in that. We need some transcribers. We need people that are willing to sit down and listen to this voice for about 2 hours and type whatever he says. And in so doing, God uses that in the closed captioning process. So have you ever seen the closed captioning on your TV? You ever do that? It's law now. They got to have that up there. So if you have any questions at all on the breezeway today, there'll be a table there. One of the representatives will be there, can answer any questions. First service, we had a few people ask, hey, can I see the video room or where you do all this? If you guys want to see any of that, just go right out this door, and it's going to be the first room in your right. You can see all the TVs and computers, and you can do what I do, stare at it and go, wow, I have no clue how to use any of them anymore, but time has a way of passing you by. Now, I'm so thankful that we can be family, and it's great to be family, isn't it? I mean, I going to church is great, but just kind of going there and leaving, and that's all, that's one thing, but it's when family life really happens. And so this is a joyous thing, but it's kind of a sad thing too. I want to ask Jim and Tanya, Nick, if you'd like to come at this time. I didn't get to find you, Tanya. I asked Jim's permission, but so if I'm shocking you right now, sorry. But I'm asking them to come forward, and they're going to be leaving us. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, though. They're moving to Tennessee, right? Which, Dallas, you could, no? Okay. Tennessee. Now, you're moving down there, I think. You can tell us, but I know that you're making the move in that. And you've been here for a number of years. Lisa and I have gotten to know you and your family personally. You've gotten to build a lot of relationships here in this church. You guys have been through the highs and the lows, the good, the bad, the ugly. And that's just what we call family, and we love it so much, and we love you guys. And so I did not want there to be a week that went by, because I don't think you'll be here next week as a family. You leave next Sunday, and I'm going to give this to Jim. And you can pass it to whoever you want. You know, you're the spiritual leader. And I just want to give you an opportunity, each of you, to say anything you may want to say. And what we want to do is just pray for you as you get ready to make this journey. But feel free to share.
Well, thank you. We came to Clinton maybe. And we just don't have any, I'm not from here. We're not from here. We don't have any family here. And we just, over the years, have been longing for family. Mm-hmm. And we go to Tennessee every year now. And our hearts are saying we need to relocate there. Never had a church family before. Open door, and the bar is set high. When we church shop in our new location, it's going to be tough. But I know we can do it, and we started over, so to speak, here in Clinton, and I know we can do it again. We're very excited, but we're very sad at the same time. And I really want to thank the staff, the pastors, church family very, very much. You guys have all been awesome.
Mm-hmm. I'm very excited about this. It's something I wanted to do. Since like 2010, we always go to Tennessee and visit my aunt and my cousins. I don't know, I'm just ready for something new, a new start, new opportunities, but I'm going to miss Clinton a lot because it's the only place I ever lived, and it's going to be hard to make new friends and leave behind some people, but at the same time, I'm very grateful because it's an opportunity of a lifetime, and not many people get that. I'm going to miss the church a lot. I'm close to a lot of people here, and I love the pastors. I don't know. I guess that's all I got to say.
I'm just going to miss everyone so much. I'm so grateful for all the relationships that we've built while we're here, and I'm just excited for the opportunities that we're going to have once we get to Tennessee, and I'm just going to miss you all so much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you can see that I brought tissues with me. Because these guys are not just people in the church, they really are our family. I remember this morning when we said we were going to pray over you guys. Nick, I don't know if you remember this, but when you were really little, you were buckled in the back of your mom's red van, and you would sing that song. spot right off because you've got to have a foundation. We love you guys. Yeah. And we will be praying for you, and we will be watching you on Facebook and Instagram and all of that, and just watching what God's doing and going to continue to do in our lives. Know that you're going off blessed by us into the next blessing and the next season.
Amen. Amen. Dad, feel free to come on up here. I know the verse, but sometimes I chop it up. It was just on my heart. It's a familiar one, Numbers 6. You've heard it many times, but I just want to speak blessing on you. And in verse 24, we're going to pray this over you. It says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." As you guys prepare to go, we want to speak blessing upon you. So church family, I want to ask, would you just extend your hand to them as we pray and say, "Father, in the name of Jesus, we send forth Jim and Tanya and Nick and pray that, Father God, you would lead them and guide them in every step of the way. Lord, we bless them as they leave here, and we ask that you would open up windows of favor, Lord Jesus. Financial favor, Lord God, in the workplace and in the move, from insurances to cars to gas to groceries, whatever it is. Lord, you've got this all figured out. So Lord, we speak that favor upon their life. We speak favor upon their health. We speak favor upon their marriage. We speak favor upon their family. We speak favor upon Jim as he leads this family and as he give him that place of employment and in whatever environment you place him, Lord, that he would flourish where he's planted and that all will see really how great God is. Lord, we speak those blessings upon Nick in the name of Jesus. A fresh new start he gives to you, and it's not something that has anything to do with the past. It's all about the new thing that he's doing. Old things do pass away, and new things, they come. And as you step into this season, God is going to bless you and give you favor. We speak that over your life. And then pray that in the name of Jesus, your heart would be healed. Where there's been fractures and wounds, that there will now be beauty marks. And there will be a light where there was a darkness. Not because of anything that you have to prove or anything that you have to do. It's simply because God loves you. And you don't need to move to get this. He says, "I do this for you because you're my son." Lord, we speak that favor over Tanya. I ask that in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, you would bless her, that, Lord, you would cover her, and that you would prepare her heart. Lord God, that you would just cause her to dream dreams and see where it is that you're leading. And, Lord, as much as she follows the lead of her husband, Lord God, she follows the lead of the Spirit of God that leads her as the heart of the home and as the mom of this family and as the wife to a husband. Now, Lord, I just speak blessings upon her and ask that you give her uncommon favor in the name of Jesus. Wherever she works, wherever she treads, Lord, that your foot, that where she places her feet, your spirit would go before her. And so, Lord, we thank you for them. We speak blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We love you guys. We love you. We love you.
Love you too, Pastor.
And sorry, I didn't mean to elbow you there. Love you.
You too.
Love you, Tanya. Now, Jim and Tanya do have another son. His name is Nate. And if you've not known, you know, I thought they had another son. You do have another son still, right? Okay. Nobody's, he's in Quad Cities? Okay, so he's living in the Quad Cities. Is he going?
Not yet.
Hopefully. Not yet. Mom's working on that. So we love you guys, and thank you so much. Anything we can do, we're going to be praying for you. Amen, church? Keep them in your prayers. I think one of the most healthy things to do in church family and one of the most necessary things to do is learn how to say goodbyes in a proper way. Many times people leave churches and just jump around and hop around, and I get that people need to feel that they need to be where they are fed and where they feel that they are led, which I'm good with, but many times we're not good at goodbyes. And there needs to be a healthy blessing upon people's lives. Whether I want them to leave or not, if I'm just going to tell you right now, if you are here and you ever feel that the Lord's leading you somewhere else or you're moving, come let us speak blessings on you. I don't own you. Nobody owns you. It's an honor to be able to pastor you. It's an honor to be able to steward what God is giving. All I want to do is bless those as they go out. So please remember that. That's an important family thing, not just for church family, but for whenever you're moving through seasons in your physical family, you know, mom, dad, son, daughter. It's very important. Because then you have the blessings of God upon your life. Yeah. Amen? Do you understand?
Yeah.
Is that okay? That's a very biblical thing. Now, okay. Sorry. I've got 30 minutes to share with you something from James. Have you ever read the book of James and tried to get just one thing out of there? Now let's just start. That's a pretty good name for a book, isn't it? Here, remember I've been telling you that we're going to do a series on the kingdom of God? Do you remember that? Okay. And then we're going to do a series on keys to the kingdom? Well, here's what's happening. There's just life happens, a lot's going on, and I'm like, I need to just build a cushion in here so I can study for that series. I don't want to just blow in here and say, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. You know, I want to take time and really get into what the Spirit of God has to say. So I thought, here's what I'll do. I'll just go to James and find a couple messages. We'll prepare a few, and then I can use that cushion to prepare for the series, right? Well, when I got out of there, I had 8 messages out of James, and I'm like, I've got to stop. What are you doing to me, you know? So needless to say, we're going into a series here on the book of James. We're going to do this for a while because my intentions were, there's 5 books in James, right? Let's just take a message from each chapter and kind of stroll through it. But you don't just stroll through the Bible. I want the Spirit of God to just lead us. I'm less concerned with accomplishing 3 points or 4 tasks or 3 characteristics, and I'm more concerned with hearing the Holy Spirit this morning. How about you? Well, let's just take time and focus on that and say, Lord, we ask now that you would just calm our hearts, calm our spirits. Lord, our minds, would you just help us to just lay down all those thoughts, the to-do list, the things we need to accomplish, and we just ask that you would speak. We acknowledge your presence here today, and we ask that now you just move in a mighty way and just plant seeds within our hearts and our lives that will flourish in our life. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The book of James. Today I want to talk to you about various trials. When you look at James chapter 1, we start off talking about trials in life and the things that we deal with. And I want to talk to you about various trials. Various trials simply means this. We all, when we're going through a trial, feel like it's the worst trial in the world. You know why? Because we're in it. And if you're the one that's in a mess, your mess is never bigger than anybody, or it's always bigger than everybody else's mess because it's your mess. And usually, if you're like me, when I'm in a mess, my first question is, how do I get out of the mess? When James is going to teach us this morning that maybe when we're in the mess, we need to start asking different questions like, what do I need to learn in the midst of my mess? If you can learn what you need to learn in the midst of your mess, you don't have to return to the mess. That's the good news. Bad news is there's another mess out there waiting for you. Well, thanks a lot, Pastor. And here's what we do. When I say something like that, I know people think this way. Well, if I just stay here stuck in this mess, then I don't have to worry about the other ones, right? If you think that way, don't you think that God who created you knows that you're thinking that way? I mean, it's kind of like we think that we've manipulated God. Oh, I got him in a headlock here. I can't have any more problems because I got this one. But I'm just going to tell you right now, if you don't take care of this one, they're just going to stack up. In this world, you will have tribulations and trials, but be of good cheer. God's overcome the world. So let's go back to his word. Let's find out what he has to say. Let's start doing what we need to do so that way we can live. You're not going to live trial-free. This message is not, 10 points to never be in trouble again. We're all going to face these times. If it were that simple, we wouldn't need much, but we need the presence of the Holy Spirit because in this world we do have trials. So James, we're going to go through this series. We're going to talk about various trials. We're going to talk in the next few weeks about sin. We're going to talk about temptations. We're going to talk about how to take back control. It's just a number of things. And my goal is that this will just equip you. But the words I say are not magic. These are just the words of God. So if you will take these and say, Holy Spirit, breathe life into my spirit, he will. So let's do that. Trials. Anyone have a trial ever before in your life? Yeah, silly question. Anyone ever have more than 2 trials? Yeah, just today, maybe. We face them. Sometimes they can just come on like that. And we've got to know how to deal with this. We're going to look at the book of James, chapter 1. We're going to read verses 2 through 12, because in James, verse 1 I didn't throw on there just simply because it's just a way of introduction. He says, James, a bondservant of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. So basically, verse 1, James is going, hello. And he's just saying, here I am. I got something I want to say to you. But he says who he wants to speak it to. And who is it that he wants to speak to? He says, to the 12 tribes. So in other words, he's talking to believers. He's talking to Christians. He's telling them to count it all joy when you fall into various trials, as we're going to read in just a moment. So he's not speaking to the non-Christian. However, this will apply to them if they will surrender their lives to Jesus. You see, you cannot count it all joy when you're not living for Jesus. Count it all joy, my what? Brethren, family, sons, daughters. That means if you try to count it all joy when you're not living for God, there's not going to be much joy to count. It's just going to be more misery upon misery. Well, why is that? Because you're not willing to come under the umbrella of His Lordship, which I'll get into in just a moment. And then when we face these trials, we say, see, God's not for me, but God is completely for you. What He wants to know is are you there for Him? Well, yeah, Pastor, I'm there when it's convenient, when it's necessary, when I want something. He wants to know, are you there even when it maybe is not as convenient? So, trials. Chippy the parakeet wasn't having a very good day one day. Anyone ever hear of Chippy the parakeet? Chippy the parakeet was going through a trial. Pretty difficult one. One second, he was in his cage, peaceful, perched on his little swing, going back and forth, singing a song. The next moment, he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over and didn't know what happened. Just all of a sudden, a trial showed up in his life. See, here's the problem. It began when Chippy's owner decided that she wanted to clean Chippy's cage one day, but today she wanted to simplify it, so she was going to use a vacuum cleaner. And she put on the attachments, and at first you would think it's not too bad because she's cleaning, and she's cleaning up all the bird stuff on the bottom. But the phone rang, and the moment she reached to grab the phone, she said, "Hello," the sucking noise happened. Chippy was gone. She panicked, and she opened up the vacuum cleaner. This is a true story, by the way. Opened up the vacuum cleaner and pulled out the bag and ripped it open. And oh, there's Chippy. All dusty and dirty going, what happened? One moment I was at peace, the next moment, gloom, despair, and agony on me. The parakeet owner, feeling horrible, did what anyone would do because the bird was all dirty and a mess, quickly grabbed the bird, ran it over to the sink, turned on the cold water, and started to wash the bird off, to which now Chippy's starting to shiver. Chippy's been sucked in by a vacuum cleaner into a world of the black abyss, pulled out, stuck under the cold water, to which then the owner felt really bad. So she's like, oh, my, this poor bird is freezing, so I'll do what any loving bird owner would do and grab the hairdryer and continued to blast heat on the bird. This bird had no clue what was going on. I was singing a song. I was looking out the window. I had all the food I could ever want. Somebody cleaned up after me, and then all of a sudden, I was gone. I'd been sucked in, washed over, and blown in the face with this high heat. I don't understand what in the world's going on. You see, Chippy, poor Chippy, never had a clue what hit him. A few days later, after the trauma, there was a reporter, because this was a true story, it got out, and they were kind of laughing about it, made a little article about it. So the person went and contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering, and she said, well, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just kind of sits there and stares. It's not too hard to see why. He had been sucked in, washed up, and blown over. That's enough to steal anybody's song, isn't it? You know, there's trials in life, and that's the goal, is to try to steal your song. He doesn't care. The enemy doesn't care how he does it. He doesn't care what tool needs to be used. He just wants you to quit singing. He wants you to just be in a comatose state that's just looking out the window, twitching a little bit, saying, what happened? What happened? I don't understand. I don't get it. But you see, in this world, you're going to fall into various trials and temptations and hard times. And James has something to say, because in the world, here's what we say. What happened? But in the Word of God, he tells you what, not only what is going to happen, but what you can do about it. So that's why James is talking to this group of believers, the children of God. He says, listen, you guys, you're falling into it. You've been yanked out of your home. You've been moved to a new country. You're facing trials up one side and down the other, but you've been following after God. But every time you followed after God, it seems like it got worse. Have you ever done what, because we always want to do what we want to do, right? Come on, let's just be honest. We like ourselves quite a bit. We want when we want, when we want it. There's just the part of our soul that's that way. But these, have you ever all of a sudden decided, nope, I'm saying no to me and yes to God. And as soon as you did, it got 10 times worse. And you're like, you see, that's what I get for saying yes to God. I should have done what I wanted to do in the first place and I would have been better off, but that's a lie. It's a lie from the enemy himself. You see, sometimes it gets worse before it gets better because you've been making so many worse decisions. To turn this sucker around, you're going to have to go through a few things. But be of good cheer. What do you mean be of good cheer? Let's take a look at James and see what he's telling these people. They're following after the Lord. They're facing all these trials. And in verse 2, he says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Verse 5, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any what?" Without any doubt. Without any doubting. "For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Verse 9, "But the brother of the humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. And the rich man is to glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too, the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away." Verse 12, last verse, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trials. For once he has been proven, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those that love him." You see, you may be going through this world and you feel like you've been sucked in by a vacuum cleaner, stuck under the cold water, and then blasted with heat, wondering what in the world happened. But James says, when you go through trials, you and I, we shouldn't, first of all, be surprised. We shouldn't be shocked. You see, we're going to go through these difficult times where we feel sucked in, washed up, and blown over. That about sums up how sometimes we feel every other day. We go through these difficult situations. James talks about the certainty of feeling this powerlessness that you feel in the midst of a trial. You know, an army chaplain had stuck a sign on his door one day, and it read this. It said, "If you have troubles, come in and tell me about them. If you have no troubles, come in and tell me how you did it." Because every one of us are going to face troubles, trials, persecutions. James reminds us of the reality that even in the Christian life, really, if you read James, you'll find out, especially in the Christian life, you're going to face more challenges, trials, persecutions. Well, that's not a, you know, good model for trying to recruit Christians, is it? Oh, well, I got some better ones, because he talks about the promises of eternal life. And he says, yeah, you're going to face some trials in this world, but know this, God's overcome the world. He's got everything you need. You see, there's trials and temptations. However, the Christian does not have to be a victim of circumstances. You can be the victor of them. Do you understand? I mean, that's got to go, and I'm not asking you to say amen again. I'm just saying it's got to go beyond an amen. And it's got to be just massaged into our very spirits. We have to understand, otherwise we take this victim mentality. It's a hopelessness, a helplessness. Oh, woe is me, gloom, despair, and agony. I can't do anything right. I'll never succeed. And you never will as long as you talk like that. But he says, we need to understand that we already have the victory. Let's start walking in the victory, talking like we have the victory, knowing that we have the victory. How, when there's so many trials in our world? Well, I want to give you four keys today. And I'm going to do it in 15 minutes. You ready? Here we go. Key number one. Write down the word count. Count. It says in James, verse 2, I believe it is, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." Some translations say, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." Here's what he's saying. In the midst of your trials, make a choice to have a joyful attitude. Make a choice to have a joyful attitude. You're going to face trials. We don't need to talk about that anymore. Now we're going to talk about when you face that trial, what do I do? Because it's going to determine your outcome. And he says, have a joyful attitude. We've got to consider the facts about the trials that we go through. See, James does not say, by the way, in his word, he didn't say, if you encounter trials. He didn't say if, did he? He said, when you encounter trials. So I'm just letting you know right now, you either are encountering them, or you will encounter them. And he says, when you do, you count it all joy. You consider it. You make a choice to have a joyful attitude. You have to expect that they're going to come. You can't hide from these, by the way. Here's what some of us do, and this is an error, and it's not good to do, but we stick our heads in the proverbial sand. sometimes maybe you've done it, maybe you know people who have done it, and a trial comes, maybe it's in work or it's home, wherever it may be. What they do is they put their head in the sand and they just pretend like they don't see this going on, or they pretend like they don't hear it so that they don't have to confront or take responsibility, and maybe it'll just go away. But does it ever go away? It never does. It may die down for a minute, but you know what it's doing? It's just waiting until it presents itself to you. Kind of like school. When you took a test, you try to avoid a test. Did you ever, I don't see the test. I don't see the test in front of me. I'm not taking the test. So if I'm not taking the test, I'll never have to take. No, that test is just waiting for you to quit acting, can I just say it bluntly, in an immature way, and take responsibility. So it is with trials. If you will face them in a mature way, then all of a sudden it produces a growth within you. But you have to choose it. I have to choose it. How? Counting it all joy. It's a joyful attitude. Maybe some of us today are going through emotional trials. Emotions have to do with our feelings and all that. Maybe some of us are going through some trials at work. Maybe some of us are going through relationship trials. You're going to face them. Maybe you're going through a physical trial. You have to consider the trial. In other words, locate the trial. Look, what is it I'm upset about? What is it that's worrying me? And when you can locate it, then you make a choice in the midst of that, one that's had a joyful attitude. You know, a lot of times, have you ever had something bother you? You know what I mean? Something's bugging you and you can't identify it. You know what I mean? You ever have that? You know, I'm upset. And so usually what I do is like, something's bugging me. I just feel like something's not right. And usually my go-to is Lisa. I'd be like, did I do anything to tick Lisa off? You know, is there anything? Because, well, let's just, you know, be real. We live together. We're married. So usually if I'm going to screw up and somebody's going to see it, it's going to be her. And did I put my foot in my mouth? No, everything's good here. You know, well, was it work? Was it my friends? Was it the situation? You know how you go through your list? You know what I'm talking about? You're trying to locate what it is that's bothering you. The problem is even if we can locate it, we usually locate it in order to defend our stance and why we don't need to change. When what James is saying is he says, count it all joy, choose a joyful attitude, and locate, you may be able to locate the trial you're going through, but when you're going through it, don't defend yourself in the midst of the trial. Surrender yourself to it. Whoa, wait a minute. Surrender? You're not surrendering to an enemy. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying surrender to the process that God is bringing before you so you can find out what's good in the midst of this trial, because if you don't learn it now, you'll have to retake the test. I don't know about you, but I hate tests and retaking tests. You know, but life's full of them, isn't it? And he says one of the first keys is to count it all joy. In other words, he says you must have a joyful attitude. You're going to face trials. Some of them will be some of them will be external sources. There's going to be things that will happen to you that you have no control over. Sometimes we're going to be persecuted for our faith. Just being a Christian alone is going to be enough. We think that we're suffering in this world. You're like, oh my gosh, I got to wait 20 minutes in line at McDonald's. That's not suffering. Okay? Some of us are, can't believe I've been stuck in this position and I've never gotten a raise. That's not suffering. Hey, you should be thankful you have a job. Some of us are, oh my gosh, when am I going to get rid of this crappy car and get a new one? That's not suffering. It's not suffering. As a matter of fact, I looked at a statistic, Christian World Report, says that in China alone, 1,100 people will be executed monthly because they're Christians. That reason, right alone. That's a trial. That's persecution. It says that in some restrictive nations in the Middle East, just becoming a believer means automatic execution. You will die. That's a trial that you go through. You see, there's going to be some external factors, and it's going to have less to do with McDonald's, okay, in the line, and it's going to have more to do, but I'm not trying to downplay it like, hey, let me just bring a reality check. People in China, they die, and you guys are complaining about this, but the reality is this biblical principle applies to both. It's the Word of God. Just because your circumstances change doesn't mean that the Word of God does. So he says whether you're facing something that's extremely obvious or it's something that you're just frustrated over here and it has to do with your home or it has to do with your marriage, it is a trial, and you must choose in both those scenarios to have an attitude of joy. Okay? Okay? All right. Like, I don't want to choose that. Well, you see, we have to make sure that we understand sometimes there's going to be internal reasons why we face trials. Well, what do you mean by internal reasons? Well, sometimes we make choices and we bring problems upon ourselves. You know what I mean? You choose what you choose because you want what you want, and then once you get it, you don't want it. When I was younger, you know, I've never held any blows about it. I didn't always make the right choices, but because I didn't make those right choices, there were consequences that came because of the choices I made. Now, I would go to God and say, Lord, I'm in a trial. And yes, God was very gracious, and I still had to change my attitude, but I also made some choices that I had to take responsibility for. And sometimes we don't make it a choice. Choose the joyful attitude because we don't want to take responsibility. And God says, it must start there. It has to. You're going to go through trials. Warren Wiersbe made this observation. He wrote about trials and said, trials are not all alike. He said, they're like a multicolored yarn that the weaver uses to make a beautiful rug. God arranges and mixes the colors and experiences of life, and the final product is a beautiful thing for his glory. You see, the trial that you're going through right now, it feels like the end of the world to you, but there's something God wants to speak to you in the midst of it. He will never waste those moments because there's something that he wants to reveal to us, but we have to evaluate and reevaluate our goals in life and where we're at, where we're going. So it's a choice. I think of Job in the Bible. Job, he lost everything. Money, house, cattle, car, family. You know what he was left with? A nagging wife and three friends who kept saying, what'd you do? You know, you really pissed God off, didn't you? That's what he's saying. He's left with that. But yet in the midst of it, here's what Job said. Job 23:10. But he knows, he was saying about God, but he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I shall come forth as gold. Job made a choice. Job made a choice. You see, our outlook will determine our outcome. And if you want to end with joy, guess what you got to begin with? Joy. If you want to end with joy, you got to begin with?
Joy.
You got to begin with joy. It's a choice, and you must make it. Faith is always tested. It increases our faith. God tests us to bring out the best. It's the enemy that tempts us to bring out the worst. God will always test you. But don't be fooled and say, oh, God's tempting me again. No, he doesn't. We'll get to that in 2 weeks. But you got to understand that it's the enemy that tempts you. He's trying to take you out. 1 Peter 1:7 is in your outlines, and I'm going to let you read it because I want to scoot along to the other few keys. But 1 Peter 1:7 just deals with the fact of the testing of our faith. He will constantly test us. If your faith remains strong after being tested by fiery trials, it'll bring praise and glory and honor to God. So we have to make sure that we do that. So, key number one, we have to make sure that we find ourselves in a place where we're surrendering to God and counting, choosing, making a decision. Here's key number two. Write down the word no. Not N-O, but K-N-O-W. Almost forgot the W. No. What do you mean? It means have an understanding mind. James chapter 1, verse 3 says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. There's something that we need to know, something that we need to understand. You see, God will lead us in this path of wanting to understand and allowing us to come to the place of knowing what it is he wants to reveal to us in the midst of these challenges. But trials that you go through, rightly used, will help you to mature. Trials that you go through that are rightly used will help you to mature. Well, how does God spell maturity? Well, sometimes he spells it by the word patience. Sometimes it's through endurance. Sometimes it's from the ability to keep going when it's tough to keep going. You know, it's about taking that journey and obeying God. Have you ever gone on a vacation with your children when they were young? And what's one of the first things they say when you get maybe 30 minutes down the road? Yeah, you guys have been on that same vacation. Are we there yet? You just don't get the question. You get the whole drama, don't you? Are we there yet? And you answer and say, no, we're not. We just pull out of the driveway, okay? We're not there yet. And when you tell them that, what's the next question usually? How much longer? That's all we want to know. They've forgotten about the journey because they just want to get where they're supposed to go. If we tell them we're going to Disneyland, you know what they're thinking? Mickey Mouse, palaces, Cinderella, Bippity-Boppity-Boo, Glitter, Goofy, Pluto, and all the other ones I can't remember. You know, they're thinking of Disney. They're not thinking about the process of getting there. And you see, when you're going through trials, sometimes we don't want to look at the process. We just want to get through it, right? Just take me to Disneyland, bippity-boppity-boo. I just want to be there. But when you're going through that trial, he says, you must count it all joy, and you must surrender to the process and know something that God is revealing to you. When you go through trials, we trust God and obey him. It will result in patience and in character. You see, when you surrender that, when you come to that place of letting God be God and doing what it is that God is calling us to do and having an understanding mind, then he builds character in our life. He builds patience, integrity. This is how we can face trials with positive attitudes. We know something. We know what trials will do in us and for us. They'll cause us to grow. They'll cause us to mature. Key number three, write this down. Write down the word let, L-E-T, let. You must count, you must know, and you must let. Let what? It says in verse 4, and let endurance have its perfect work. In other words, he says, you must have a surrendered will. You must make a choice to have a joyful attitude. You must know and let God give you a mind of understanding, and then you must surrender your will. God cannot and will not build character without our cooperation. He wants us involved in this. He's a gentleman. He will not push, prod, pull, or drag against our will. He wants us to surrender it. And if we resist him, then the natural response will be consequences. There will be chastisement. See, God's goal is for us to mature. He desires maturity in our life. It would be tragic if our young ones never grew up, wouldn't it? I was commenting the other day to my wife, and I said, do you remember when the kids, when Dre was in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and Seth was in like 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade? And she's like, yeah. I said, those were good times. Those were great times. Part of the reason it was so good is because they were so young, we could still control them and tell them what to do. Now they've grown up, and they're becoming young men and women, and they have lives of their own. They have work schedules. They have sporting events. They're just busy. Does it mean it's a bad season now? Absolutely not, but life changed. Have you ever found life changed and never asked your permission? Life has a way of changing. Sometimes that can put us into a trial. It's in the midst of those trials that we have to understand, are we going to be willing to surrender? Well, in James, what we're talking about is surrendering to the will of God and surrendering to the process because he wants us to mature and grow. It's okay when a baby's a baby and all they can say is a few words and they're limited in what they can do, but you take that same mentality and put it in a 50-year-old, we've got a problem. You see, he expects maturity and he expects growth in our life. And one of the ways that we get that is when we go through trials and we're willing to surrender and submit to God. James 1, 9 through 11 talks about this process and he uses two analogies or two classes of Christians when he says, the brother of the humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. He says, the rich man is to glory in his humiliation because like the flowering grass, it will pass away. The sun rises with the scorching wind, withers the grass. The flower falls and it's the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. What is he saying in all those verses? He's simply saying this. God's testing has a way of leveling all of us, no matter who you are, what race, what class, how much money you have, if you're rich, if you're poor, whether you're blue collar or white collar, male, female, it doesn't matter. God has a way of leveling the playing field when you face a trial. And when you face the trial, what he wants to know is are you counting it all joy? In other words, are you choosing a joyful attitude? Are you seeking to understand what God wants to reveal to you? And are you willing to surrender and submit? Because when you are, you're that much closer to seeing what God is trying to teach you. Key four, we'll get ready to close with this, is write down the word ask. Ask. Count, know, let, ask. Those are the four keys. What do you mean ask? I mean, have a heart that wants to believe. Have a heart that, key word is, wants to believe. When the unexpected trials of life lay on your doorstep, how are you going to respond to them? Someone once said, knowledge is the ability to take things apart, and wisdom is the ability to put them back together. I liked it, but I also think sometimes you need wisdom when taking something apart. I believe some of us here maybe are it could be in a relationship where you need to step back from it. That's going to take wisdom from God. And if God's the one that's telling you to do it, then do it. He'll give you what you need. Some of us don't know how to step back from relationships, so we just wait until they destroy themselves, and then we try to rise from the rubble. God's got a better way. Well, what is it? Ask him. If you really have a heart that wants to know, he'll show you. I don't know what situation you're going through. Maybe it's a work-related thing, but God will give you the wisdom. How? Ask. You ask him. Wisdom is using knowledge rightly. Let me end with this. We're all going to face trials, and we need to learn to do this. There was a story of a farmer who had a donkey who fell down a well. And the donkey was, you get a donkey down in a well, it's going to make a lot of noise, by the way. And it started making its noise, and the farmer didn't know what to do. It looked down the well, and this well didn't work any longer. It was just a deep well and was of no use. But the donkey was down there, and he didn't know what to do, because after all, if for some reason he could get a rope around the donkey, it's not like you can just pick up a donkey. They're heavy. There's no way he's going to be able to get him up there. He started talking to his neighbors, seeking their advice, and he came up with the conclusion, count your losses. Just bury the thing. Now, that doesn't sound very nice, does it? But it's a lot of work. And they said, you know what? I think I'll just count my losses. And they started dumping dirt in the hole. Now, the donkey being down in the hole, realized dirt being thrown on it, didn't take a genius even for a donkey to figure out, hey, this isn't right. This is not good. They're throwing dirt on me. And that donkey started making a whole lot of noise. You would too if you were in the well. And they started throwing dirt on the donkey, and the donkey started to freak out a little bit and started making a lot of noise, making a lot of racket, crying out. But in the midst of his crying out, as they threw dirt on it, it would shake the dirt off and it would start to stand on the dirt. And they'd throw some more dirt in there, and it'd shake that dirt off, and it'd start to stand on that dirt, and it'd throw some more dirt in there. And he kept making noise, but he kept shaking the dirt off and standing on the dirt. And eventually, as he kept standing on that dirt, he started to rise up out of the well to the point where he's able to walk right out of it. You know, you may be going through a trial right now. I don't know what degree or what level, but make some noise. Start crying out to your Father God. Yeah, I don't understand why the world's throwing dirt on me. I don't get it either. All I know is that God is God and I am not, and I cry out to him. And as you start to make that noise, the world's going to keep throwing dirt on you, folks, but shake it off and start to step on top of it. It's going to throw some more dirt on you, and it's going to call you some names. Shake it off and step on that dirt. It's going to tell you, you can't make it. You're a loser. You're a failure. You know, people are going to want to take from you because they see something they want. Shake the dirt off. Step on it. And eventually, you will walk out of that well. And you will be crying out instead of in fear, worry, and concern. You'll be crying out in glory and praise and honor to the God above. Amen. Father, I pray that you would seal that in our hearts today. Lord God, there's many of us today that are going through scenarios, situations, and we just need your wisdom. We need wisdom from above that will guide us and lead us in the midst of life. Some of us feel exactly like that donkey stuck in a well, can't get out. There's no way to look but up because everything around me is closing in on me. And Lord, when I look up, all I'm getting is dirt thrown on me and I don't know what to do. Today, the very Spirit of God saying, shake it off. Step on that dirt. It'll take time, but you'll get out of that well. Maybe you're here today, and you've not made that decision to live for Christ. You cannot have the victory in the midst of your trials, and you cannot have that favor if you're not willing to be a son or a daughter of God, if you've not asked him into your heart as your Savior. And I just want to give you that opportunity. I'd be foolish not to. Are you here today, and you've never taken that time? Or maybe you did at one point and got away from it, where you've not asked Jesus to be the Savior of your life. That's you. Just simply raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to make that decision today. I agree with you. God sees your hand and your heart. The world's got a way of throwing dirt at you, but it's okay. Don't worry. God's bigger than the dirt. God's bigger than the well. God's bigger than any advice anyone has to say. When the world's throwing dirt on you, shake it off, step on it, and watch how he's going to cause you to rise above all of that. Is there any other hearts here today? Say, Pastor, that's me. I just need to make that decision. That's you. Just simply raise your hand. I'll wait for just a moment. All right, then I'm going to ask this. Maybe you're here today, you're going through a situation, and you need so much grace today. It took everything you had to get here to church. You need wisdom that goes beyond just the advice of a friend or even a pastor maybe. Maybe you just need wisdom directly from the very Spirit of God to know what to do next. You're going through a trial. Can I tell you, this is not the end. It's a new beginning. Start viewing it from his perspective instead of yours. If you're here today and that's you, I'm simply going to pray this prayer. All you have to do is agree with it. So I say, Father, I pray that today, each and every one of us that's going through a trial, Father, I pray that you would give us your eyes this morning. Lord, that when we look and see things, that we don't just see what we see with our eyes, but that we see with your eyes. Lord, give us wisdom from above that looks beyond the partly cloudy days to the downright thunderstorms. Lord, give us eyes that realize that when things are tumultuous, the sun is still shining. Lord, give us your perspective today, we pray, and I ask that in every person's heart and life here today, I ask that as they leave here today, whatever trial they have faced, are facing, or will face, that they will remember to make some noise, that they will remember to cry out to you, and that as they do, that Lord, you will lift them out of that well, and that Lord God, when the world's throwing dirt on them, they're just going to shake it off, and we're going to step on the dirt, and eventually we'll be crying out praises to your name. Father, take our frown and turn it upside down. Give us your perspective, I ask, in your name. Amen. Amen. Will you stand with me this morning? You know, one of the scary things is to preach about this stuff. You know that? Anytime you start saying, ooh, God's speaking about trials, yeah. Anytime you start talking about this, you start seeing those things. Just know that the trial's not bigger than your God. God's bigger than your trial. You just got to remind yourself of that, okay? God bless you guys. I love you. Thank you for being patient. 6 o'clock tonight, we'll see you at Praise and Worship, OSL 1, 2, and 3. See you at 2 o'clock.
This world has nothing for me. This life is not mine.